Amen. Aren't you thankful that Jesus loves us?
Amen. Amen.
I want to invite you to open your Bibles, if you would, to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 again. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. That's what we're going to pick up again this afternoon. If you're able, let's stand together for prayer and the reading of God's Word. And I'm glad to know that God so loved the world
Amen.
That He gave His only Son. Amen. And we know that love and salvation only applies to those who believe.
Amen.
But He loves all. He desires all to be saved. And that's the good news for the world today. Let's pray, and then we'll read our text again. Father in heaven, I thank You for the opportunity to come and gather again this afternoon. I'm thankful for our young people helping to lead in the worship, and I'm thankful for the freedom, the ability, the opportunity we have to gather with the saints to worship You. And I pray that everything we've done so far and everything we will do would be acceptable to You, that it would magnify Jesus and glorify You, God, and that Your saints would be edified. Please help us to grow in Your grace and knowledge. Forgive us where we fall short, and help us to learn today how that we can live a life that will show Your will, make it evident in our lives. And Lord, please help us to be disciples who make disciples. Bless Your word in spite of me now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. Please be seated. We want to prove, test, demonstrate, or show what the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God is in our lives. Now, a lot of people might be confused by the phraseology there, that you may prove what is the good. We know that word prove means to test. And we're not trying to put God's will on trial to decide whether it's good or not. That's not what this means at all. What it means is that we would live in a way that proves or demonstrates or puts on display the will of God. In other words, because we have given ourselves as a living sacrifice to God, because we're not being conformed to the world, because we're being renewed day by day, we are putting on display God's will. So if you want to know and follow God's will, you're going to have to respond rightly to the mercies of God, worship Him by offering your whole life as a sacrifice to God, and not allowing yourself to be conformed to this age, then being transformed through the renewing of your mind. And that's kind of where we were as we ended up this morning. Transformation comes through a renewed mind. And we're trying to understand the reality that the body is not going to stay on the altar without a renewed mind. The mind is the battleground. The mind is where the war is fought. The mind can only be renewed through the power of the Word of God. And the way that happens is through saturating our minds with the Word of God. I want to fill my mind up with God's Word. I want to read it. I want to study it. I want to understand it in the context.
Amen.
Write that down. Understand it in the context. I want to meditate on it. I want to memorize it. I want to apply it. I want to obey it. I want to discuss it with my brothers and sisters. I want to proclaim it to those who don't know Christ. I need to saturate my heart and mind with the Word of God. That's how we're renewed. Now, we can fill our minds up with all kinds of stuff, and we do. You can fill your mind up with the latest news. You can fill your mind up with your favorite hobby. You can fill your mind up with worries and anxieties. Or you could fill your mind up with the things of God's Word, and it will change everything. Change everything. I'm going to pick on Brother Wes here real quick. Brother Wes told us that he, in class, that he got rid of a couple of social media apps on his phone. And so now, and the times when he would pull his phone out and doom scroll. You guys know what doom scrolling is? Some of you don't know what that is. Well, it's when you have social media, it's designed for you to just keep scrolling through. And they, scrolling, you flip through your phone, and there's no end to it. And they've got algorithms to just keep stuff in front of you, to just keep you going forever and ever and ever. It's called doom scrolling because there's no end to it. Well, Brother West told us that this past week or so, got rid of those apps. So now when he would pull his phone out and normally doom scroll for a while, he reads scripture instead.
Amen.
Life-changing.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
Life-changing.
Amen.
Now, I think that the technology we have today makes the Word of God available more today than ever before in the history
Amen.
Of the world.
Amen.
And I'm going to, but I got news for you. Even if you don't have a smartphone with a Bible app, you still have the Bible.
Right.
You know, since I was a teenager, I've had multiple copies of the Bible with me everywhere I've gone. I always kept a copy, a pocket Bible. You guys know what a pocket Bible is?
Amen.
Some of you are like, yeah, I can't read it. The words are way too small. I'm talking about the kind that were so small it came with a little plastic magnifying card. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
I had one. I kept it in my truck. Always had a Bible in my truck. I would carry a Bible literally in my pocket a lot of places that I went. I had a Bible in my truck. I had a Bible at home. I had a Bible when I had a job at the office. Like, I've always had multiple copies of the Word of God anywhere I wanted to go. Long before there were smartphones, where I've got multiple Bible apps for studying on my phone all the time. It's more readily available right now than ever before. And I know somebody always tells me, Brother Isaac, I have a hard time reading. I have a hard time with reading and comprehension. Your Bible today will read it to you.
Amen.
And if you're old school, you can still buy the Bible on CD. And Darth Vader will read the Bible to you. Like, you can get that. And if you're not even CD age yet, they still have cassettes. You can find them on eBay. True story. I'm just telling you, we can fill our minds with the Word of God. We have no excuse.
Amen.
And if you want to be renewed in your mind, not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind, that's going to happen through the Word of God. And this is nothing new. God has always wanted us to fill our minds and our lives with the Word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 6, start at verse 4. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Now, I know most of you know this verse. You ought to. If you don't, you ought to mark these down, highlight it, underline it, remember it. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Now stop right there, and you need to get this. When Moses is declaring that they ought to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and we know, and add, you can add strength, but you're going to love God with all that you are, it's immediately connected to the Word of God. And it's always going to be connected to the Word of God. You're going to serve God. You're going to love God with everything you are. Then you have to have His Word in your heart. Now,
Amen.
We always talk about our heart and mind as separate things. The Bible actually put those things together. As a matter of fact, the translators, the word cardia that we would say heart is sometimes translated mind. And sometimes the word for mind is translated heart. Because we need to understand that those things are connected. They can't be separated. It's the inner part of your being. It's who you are. So when we are told here to love God with all our heart, and when we're told in our text to love God or to be transformed in our mind, it all goes together. So how do we do that? Verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And what's the whole point? You got to get God's word in your heart and in your mind. And the way you do that is you have to teach it. You can't teach something that you don't know.
Amen.
So you have to know it, you have to teach it, and you got to talk about it all the time. Now, how does that happen? Well, it happens because they are in your heart.
Amen.
You guys all know this, right? Out of the abundance of the heart, right? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Amen.
So what's in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. And we know that. It's so evident. What people love, they talk about.
Amen.
My mom will talk about her grandkids. She loves her grandkids. They fill up her heart. Some guys will talk about cars. Some guys will talk about guns. Some ladies will talk about shoes. Some guys will talk about shoes. Like, the things that we love, we just talk about.
Amen.
But can I just say, of all the good that God gives us to enjoy in this life, we ought to talk about Him and His Word more than anything?
Amen.
Transformation comes through a renewed mind, and that has to be from saturating our lives with the Word of God. There's a lot of things you can do with your time. There's a lot of things you can read, listen to, and watch. But the Word of God has to have the preeminence in your heart and mind. It has to. So if you spend more time scrolling on TikTok or Instagram or Facebook or X or whatever it is than you spend in the Word of God, that's a problem. It's a problem. The next thing that I want to tell you, which is the last point. So we've talked about God's mercies call for a grateful response. True worship offers the whole life to God. We must not allow ourselves to be conformed to this age, and transformation comes through a renewed mind. And lastly, a renewed life puts the will of God on display. Amen. A renewed life puts the will of God on display. And he says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, this word prove means to test, it means to examine, and it means to discern. And we've been trying to learn about discerning and following the will of God. So, proving the will of God, the renewed mind is able to test and discern what accords with the will of God. In other words, when you do these things, when you give yourself as a living sacrifice, and when you don't allow yourself to be conformed to the world, and when you're transformed by the renewing of your mind, it enables you, it puts you in a position where you can prove or discern what the will of God is. Amen. Now you can know what the will of God is. So you take the inverse of that and you figure this. If I don't give my life as a living sacrifice to God, I'm not going to be able to discern God's will in my life. Amen. If I'm conformed to this world, then I'm not going to be able to discern God's will for my life. If my mind is not being renewed by the Word of God, I'm not going to be able to discern what God's will is for my life. So if we sit around saying, I just don't know what God's will is, maybe if we followed God's formula, we could figure it out.
Amen.
Maybe we would be able to discern. And again, let me make sure this is clear. Not that we place God's will on trial to determine whether it's good or not. Like, that's not what this is saying at all. But we can only look to God, see him and his will clearly when we have presented ourselves as a living sacrifice, when we've refused to be conformed to this world, when we are actively being transformed by the renewing of our mind. Then and only then can we see clearly what he has commanded. Then and only then can we see clearly what principles apply to our situation in life and what is faithful to who he is. When we are renewed day by day, we put the will of God on display. What the renewed mind discerns, the surrendered life practices. So when I do this, when I follow this pattern, then what's going to happen? It starts with this. One, my soul is given to God in salvation. When you get saved, you give him your life. He gets your life. You get his life. You get his life. He gets yours. That makes sense? Our life is bound up in Christ. Then the body is presented in surrender. You give yourself a living sacrifice to God. Amen. And then your mind is renewed by God's word daily. And then the will chooses to do what the renewed mind now knows. Because my mind is being renewed, now I can give my will to him so that his will is done. And there are wills in competition, aren't there? Listen, if Jesus himself had to pray, not my will, but how much more do we have to pray that?
Amen.
Your will is in competition against God's will. That's the whole reason that I need this renovation of my mind so that my will dies and his will is all that's left.
Amen.
So I want to do his will. So the soul is given to God in salvation, the body is presented to God in surrender, the mind is renewed and renovated by the word of God, and my will then chooses to do what the renewed mind knows what to do, and the life displays the will of God through obedience. His will is put on display, his good and acceptable and perfect will. And by the way, his will is good.
Amen.
3 John 1:11. See if we can look at that. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil has not seen God. And we know that God is good and his will is good. Now, I know that my will is not always good, but I know that God's will is always good.
Amen.
And by the way, God's will may not always appear good to people around you, but his will is always good.
Amen.
I think about the Apostle Paul when he was determined to go back to Rome. He knew it was God's will, but everywhere he went, even Christians would prophesy by the Spirit of God that bad things were going to happen to Paul if he went to Rome. Just remember that? Like everywhere he went, listen, if you go, you're going to suffer. Bad things are going to happen. But Paul knew it was God's will for him to go, so he was going to go. Even though people around him said, no, Paul, don't go. You can't go. Well-meaning people said, what you're doing is not good. He knew it was the will of God for his life, so he went.
Amen.
And I'm just going to tell you that God's will is always good, even if well-meaning people around you can't see that.
Amen.
His will is always good. His will is acceptable. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, 9, and 10. Ephesians 5, 8, 9, and 10. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord.
Amen.
You see, when my life is in his hands, now I can walk in light because he has given us light and we are the children of light, and I can prove what is acceptable to the Lord with my life. I demonstrate it by the way that I walk with him. Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And this word well-pleasing right here is acceptable.
Amen.
That's what it is. It's an acceptable or well-pleasing. And God is going to work in you to perfect you, to do every good work, working that which is well-pleasing in his sight. His will is good. His will is acceptable in his sight, and his will is perfect. Colossians 4:12. Colossians 4:12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that, or in order that, so that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God.
Amen.
This idea of perfect means, it's the Greek word teleos. It means to be full. It means to be complete. It means to be mature. And God's will is going to mature you. It is going to perfect you. It is going to bring you to completion in Christ. And we want his will to be done in our lives.
Amen.
And this is stuff we've known our whole lives. James 1:22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Why? Because if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass or a mirror. For he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now we're talking about saturating our mind with the word of God so that it's renewed day by day. But remember, this is for the purpose of transformation. In other words, it's not just taking in information, but it's actually obeying what we read in the Bible. Listen, learning what the Bible says without doing what the Bible said actually makes you in worse condition than you were before.
Amen.
Ignorance is no excuse, but when you know to do right and you don't do it, that's not good.
Right.
As a matter of fact, for him that knows to do good and does it not, it is. So we want to saturate our hearts and minds with the word of God, but we need him to do that work. That's why it comes down to us being surrendered to him, that we are yielding our lives to him so that he will do that work in us of transformation, changing us, and helping us to move from glory to glory as he grows us and perfects us in his work. I don't know if you've ever felt overwhelmed by trying to obey what the Bible says, but I have. I've come to this place like I just want to do what the Bible says, but then I don't know if you've ever read it, but it's a big book.
Amen.
It's a lot. And you start trying to keep every commandment that's in the Bible, it's overwhelming.
Amen.
Just trying to remember the things that you're not supposed to do and the things you are supposed to do can be overwhelming. But I want to tell you, you don't have to try to do this on your own. As a matter of fact, you can't. That's why I have to surrender to Him. And when I do that and I fill my heart and mind with the Word of God, He also empowers me through the Spirit of God.
Amen.
He gives us the strength and ability to do what He's called us to do. I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Not only does He bear witness with my spirit that I am a child of God, but He also strengthens.
Amen.
I love the Bible word that it gives us sometimes. One is to make us stronger, to have might. Another one is the word we get energy from. He gives us the energy to do what we need to do. And can I just say on this Sunday afternoon, we all could use a little more energy. Right? I'll just confess, I like to drink energy drinks. Don't tell my mom. But I'm going to tell you, we need more than what an energy drink can give us. Sometimes anybody ever eat just a little bit of honey just to give you a little boost? A couple of you do? Yeah, man. I think of Jonathan every time I do that. Not that Jonathan, the one in the Bible, Jonathan. Remember, he stuck his staff to it, and he took a little bit, and it's like he just kind of came back to life. His countenance was brightened, like he had energy to keep going forward. Like, we can get some energy physically, but I'm going to tell you, we need the power of the Holy Spirit spiritually. Mentally and emotionally and physically, and the Spirit of God, by the way, impacts all of those things.
Amen.
Like, literally, He'll give you strength in your flesh, and literally, He'll give you strength in your mind, and literally, He'll give you strength in your spirit to do what He's called you to do. So the Word of God and the Spirit of God give us the ability that we need, the energy and the strength and the might and the wisdom that we need to do what the Bible says. And this whole idea of having to have our mind in this thing for us to do what the Bible says, Jesus taught us so simply. And I want you to look at it in John 13:17. It's so good. John 13:17. For if ye what?
No.
Y'all help me out. If ye what?
No.
Know these things. Happy are ye if ye. Isn't that good?
Amen.
If you know these things, happy are you if you do them.
Amen.
I can't do them if I don't know them. And if I know them, then I'm going to have joy if I do them.
Amen.
So we need both. I need the knowledge. I need the wisdom. I need the understanding from the Word of God. And then I need to do what He teaches us to do by obeying His will. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 2. And we're going to end this afternoon with this. So 2 Peter 2, chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. Time out. But do you just see it? God's given us all this knowledge, right? And then He's given us everything. Everything that pertains to life and to godliness. So how I have life in Christ and how I live my life in Christ, it's all according to His power and the knowledge that He gives us. Verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance or self-control, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins.
Amen.
Do you get it? God has given us this knowledge of himself, who he is, and what he's done for us. And then he has given us power to live out what he's given us. And if you believe and you continue to move forward in that belief by being a living sacrifice, not being conformed to the world, being transformed by the renewing of your mind, then you're going to grow in his grace and knowledge. You're going to grow by adding to your faith virtue, right? It's this progression that we keep growing and growing. We're going to get virtue and knowledge and self-control and endurance and godliness and kindness and love. And all of these things are abounding in us so that we are fruitful in the knowledge of Christ. But if we don't, it's because we have forgotten that we were purged from our old sins. I don't know if you guys see the connection or not. Remember how we started in Romans and we looked back to chapters 1 through 11 at the mercies of God? See, this whole thing started, like living this out starts with remembering the mercies of God, all that he's done. Don't forget what God's done. Don't forget his manifold mercies in your life, because if you remember those things, then you're going to keep moving forward and growing. But if you're not growing, if you're not moving forward, if you're not proving the will of God in your life, part of the reason is because you forgot. You forgot. You forgot about the mercies of God. So today, can I just remind you this afternoon, don't forget. Don't forget what God's done for you. Don't forget the mercy that he's shown you. Don't forget how amazingly loving and patient and kind he has been. Don't forget. Amen. But remember his mercies and respond by sacrificing yourself, your whole life. Give everything you are to the one who died for you and rose again. Amen. Will you stand with me for prayer? If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the conviction that you give me in my heart. I thank you for the reminders of your mercy and your love and your goodness to us. I pray, dear God, that you would please forgive where I fall short. Forgive all of us where we fall short. Help us to remember today and every day your mercies. And may those mercies move us to give our bodies a living sacrifice, to never be conformed to this world, but to be transformed daily by the renewing of our mind. And help us live lives that put your will on display. Help us to know it. Help us to go the way you'd have us to go, to do the things that you'd have us to do by your grace and by the power of your Holy Spirit. Please help us, Lord, to discern your will for our lives and to follow it by your grace. Our eyes are on you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.